In my previous presentation, I showed that life, the life of every single individual, is necessarily the starting point for a moral system that has a rational foundation to it. Now, you are in need of a moral system. Why? Because you are alive right now, and you have implicitly, if not explicitly, chosen life over death. Now, the alternative of life versus death is the alternative that is faced by every living thing, human beings included. Animals face it too, but the animals largely don't really have a choice about whether or not to pursue life. A lot of their faculties are pre-programmed into them in the form of what are called instincts. The animals act by default in such a way as to pursue life within the limited cognitive and physical abilities that they have. And very few animals choose not to pursue life. And so for many of them, this alternative is not really something that requires a lot of contemplation. For human beings, it's a bit different, but nonetheless, if you are watching this video right now, and if you are not choosing to drop dead at this very moment by depriving yourself at this very instant of the preconditions for life, then you're implicitly choosing life. Now, at the point at which you say, well, I decide to choose death instead of life, but then you try to go about some kind of time-consuming process in pursuing your own death, you're committing a bit of a contradiction. Because what do you need to do in order to, say, commit suicide? In order to get a knife and stab yourself, or get a gun and shoot yourself, or hang yourself, or commit one of the other perverse acts people do to commit suicide? Well, you need to make physical movements to do that, and you need to make them over a span of time. You need to use your mind in order to coordinate those physical movements. And what business do you have in trying to use life and rationality to achieve the opposite of life and rationality, namely death, and the complete lack of thought, complete lack of awareness that it entails? You're using A in order to try to get non-A, which is quite a contradiction. So, the person who tries to commit suicide is inconsistent on his own premises, in the sense that he implicitly embraces life, and he explicitly seeks death. The only way that you can make a fully consistent choice to pursue death is to just drop dead, at which point, yes, you will have no need for morality, and at which point, nobody will have the power to stop you. Now, also granted, if somebody really, really wants to commit suicide, and he makes repeated attempts, it's unlikely that even the most vigilant other people will be able to stop him. There's no real practical way to prevent a determined suicidist from committing suicide. But if you're watching this video, and if you're wondering about morality, I'm assuming you probably don't want to commit suicide. So, you've chosen life rather than death. And I think this choice is a very important choice, no matter where your other philosophical preferences lie. I don't require, in embracing this moral system, that you be an atheist like I am. You could very well believe in a god and an afterlife, or many gods, or the Hindu version of Brahman and merging yourself with Brahman in the afterlife, or the Buddhist vision of Nirvana. So long as you believe that this life has value, and that you are going to pursue this life over death in every situation where you can make a choice that will influence the course of affairs, then you and I have some common ground in establishing an ethical system. Now, I believe there are three tiers of morality that need to be considered and that follow from embracing life. First of all, a truly moral person will not inflict harm upon the lives of others. This is the first tier of morality, because by damaging other human beings intentionally and directly, one is robbing oneself of any rational justification for one's own right to life and one's own right to liberty, because other human beings have the same essential nature. They too are able to contemplate ethical systems. They too have a volitional faculty and a rational faculty, and to deprive them of that would then beg the question, well, why in the world are you insisting that you have these rights if you don't grant them to people who are in essence like you? So this is the first tier of morality. Do no harm to others. The second tier of morality is do no harm to yourself. Do not engage in self-destructive actions such as suicide, or say the taking of life-endangering drugs, or engaging in risky behaviors against which you do not have adequate protection or adequate assurance that you will emerge from them alive. Now, this, of course, is left to individual judgment in many respects, because we need not only to consider a behavior in isolation, but how it relates to other behaviors. A good example I like to use is somebody who eats a chocolate cake of 600 calories apiece every single day, and he takes great pleasure in this. This probably wouldn't be good for his health, except every single day, to compensate for eating that piece of chocolate cake, he goes out to run for an hour and burns about 800 calories, which actually makes him expend more calories on net than he would have done had he not eaten that chocolate cake, because his running is solely motivated by a desire to compensate for eating that cake. So you need to consider context in deciding what is or is not self-destructive. The third tier of morality is the tier of civility and integrity. In how you relate to other people, you need to honestly represent yourself and carry through on your promises, and you need to be civil and tactful in your interactions with others, to never deliberately insult another person, to oppose another person's ideas with dignity and with courage, but not at the same time trying to denigrate that person or suggest that that person is somehow evil just for advocating those ideas. Once again, we need to distinguish between truth and falsehood in ideas versus good and evil in people. So civility and integrity, they are less important than doing no direct harm to others and doing no direct harm to oneself, but they are quite important nonetheless. And adherence to the third tier of morality is the capstone of ethics. Once you have the other two down, you work on the third, and that ensures harmonious, peaceful, mutually advantageous interactions among human beings. So this has been my brief overview of the origins of morality and some of its basic structure. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I look forward to your feedback.